What a dipshit. Living that dipshit life.
Classic. We've all been there.
This is Bruise Day Tuesday podcast episode 666. Welcome to hell. Here's your host, the most evil thing in the world, a confident white man, Tyler Dryblad.
Richard Price, Richard Price, whatever. Anyway,
Richard Price.
Yeah, I screwed that up even, immediately.
Wrong name and also not accurate.
I know. Just screwed it up absolutely immediately. I was gonna say
you meant Vincent Price, right?
Vincent Price, yeah.
But like Price Vincent always. Price is like he's like a little dandy. He's like a little evil dandy. That's not what I was doing.
Well, the laugh was a little Vincent Price, I thought.
Okay, sure.
The voice really sounded like Richard Price, though, who is, of course, his cousin, that most people don't.
His evil cousin.
Yeah, exactly.
His scary cousin.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, boy. Well, welcome to the 666th episode of this show. That's pretty crazy. That's wild, huh?
Zach, do you want to tell Tyler about our very brief conversation about this episode that we had?
I got caught up in the excitement of being on a number with meaning, and I texted Sam something that I played off as a joke, but Sam actually just made a good point. this is probably over Teams.
Basically, yeah, it would have been.
I was like, we should all get spooky beers for the show. We should all have to get something with like heavy metal label art on it, and I was like, that'll probably be a big sales day for Stone. And Sam just goes like, it's like somebody else other than us is going to be buying that, and I was like, definitely. And then I basically said that I've been doing like kind of like a gonzo marketing for the show. I've got a Truth Social account where I've been really drumming up a lot of demonic panic show. So a lot of people are getting spooky beers.
We're about to cash in.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, big time.
That's a lot of fun. I like that. We're glad to have you for this extremely spooky episode. What kind of spooky beer did you bring?
I have Orgasm from Drekker Brewing. They're from Fargo. It's got like a spooky goblin warlock on the cover and some skulls. So I was like, sold. It is just a plain old boring IPA. It is 7% ABV, and it is pouring out incredibly cloudy, like almost like milkshakey in consistency. Straw yellow with just a nice even row of white bubbles. A little bit of citrusy stuff on the nose. That's nice. It's definitely got a bit of like lemony kind of notes, pine notes on the front. It's a little sweet, but it does kind of have kind of a longer bitter aftertaste, like kind of like chewing on rind, like citrus rind. So it does kind of have that little bitter punch at the back. But I'm not like, if it just didn't have that, just ended like half a second earlier, I think this would be like amazing. But otherwise, it's just pleasant.
Gotcha. I didn't get the text about spooky beers, but I guess this is kind of spooky. Jack's Abbey Toy Soldier Christmas Lager. Spooky how out of season.
Spooky Christmas time!
Spooky Christmas. Well, it is spooky that it says we live for lager on the side of it. That seems like a big swing. Yeah. Christmas Lager, it is, what is it, 7-something, I think?
Freddy Krueger ain't got shit on lager fandom in terms of being off-putting.
Monsters.
True facts. 7.8% ABV. Very, very kind of reddish, reddish amber. A very thin head that went away pretty quickly. I'm getting like some honey up in there. Honey up in that nose. Oh, yep. It's got a lot of like like nutmeg and allspice and ginger and that kind of Christmassy stuff. So I think they definitely did what they wanted to do, but it's not a flavor profile I particularly enjoy. In fact, you might say I'm scared of that combination.
Whoa!
Yeah. Samuel.
Yeah, so this is the part of the show where I'm supposed to tell you about the really interesting way that I'm going to open my beer.
Yeah.
Because we're in that chapter. To get you up to date, Zach, I have a bunch of bottled beers and different ways of opening bottled beers. But this installment is about using a wedding ring to open a beer. And so... So here's the thing about me that maybe some people don't know is how opposed I am to jewelry conceptually. I like I hate it as a socialist. It's just that generally it's a way of saying, look at the money I have. And anytime someone does that, I say, oh, go fuck yourself. So like I hate that. And like anytime I see like a woman's jewelry, it immediately makes them less attractive to me. And anytime I see a man's jewelry, I think, why are you the way that you are? Go away. And that has translated to me physically. When I got married, I got a metal wedding band. Yes. And I had like a pretty rowdy skin reaction to it, where I would have to like, if I wore it for too long, I could take the ring off and you could just see like where my very pale white skin, it was just like a deep red and there was a smell involved. So like, I don't know exactly what that means, but clearly my body rejected it. So now I have one of these guys.
Yeah.
One of these, silicone wedding bands. I react to it better, but it will not work when it comes to opening a bottle of beer, so I'm going to use a bottle opener and call that little anecdote my content for the week. Thank you.
Sucked. It's got metal allergy, everybody. Strap in.
Stay
tuned. They're all, you've blown their ass off. There's no way to even follow up with that. Like, everybody's going to have to tune out.
You know what? I am going to have to heighten. How does 17% ABV strike you, bitch?
That's pretty cool. If that's true, and you're not just saying a high number to getting upper hand here.
Can you see it? Can we see that?
No.
Is that
coming there through? It is.
Oh, I can't. I can't. It's verified. Tim. 17% ABV.
No, that's 1.7. He's lying.
Oh, no. It's okay, so I have Dragon's Milk Triple Mashed Bourbon Barrel Aged Stout, 1.7% ABV. So this will be a strange sensation, I think. I mean, I love Dragon's Milk. I've had, I think the OG is probably still my favorite, but I've had
it's
a number
of... falling out of there like cottage cheese. Listener, if you can't watch this, it's literally coming out of there like cottage
It's a little chonky.
It's
so thick. I mean, the original's the best, but the variants have all been good, so I have high hopes for this. Whoa! It shouldn't surprise me, but it did. It just smells like booze. The nose is just, like, this... cup might as well just be full of vodka.
Yeah.
Already done that one.
Yeah, it tastes quite boozy as well. but, you know, 17% ABV. I would like this to be hidden better, but... 17, we're getting pretty close to a low ABV liquor at that point. So, yeah. If you're sipping on it... Like... If you did a Jack and Coke that was half and half, that's about this alcohol wise.
Isn't SoCo like 18% or something like that?
No way. No, SoCo's got to be 30. I'll Google it.
Is it?
Southern Comfort ABV.
A very potent wine that you're drinking.
So, you want to hear a really unhelpful answer? According to Google AI, it's available in... Oh, the OG is 35%, but they make a 50% version, a 21% version, and a 30% version, commonly available in Australia.
Weird. There must be taxes around that amount.
You know what Australians can't get it? Those poor guys enslaved to the mine. I still think about that story a lot. You guys don't remember we covered this.
You were just bringing... You were trying to bring the show down to hell.
Yeah, you just weren't engaging. Tragedy. I don't know. No, we did this one story, and it was like, there's this mining town out in Australia, and you can't have booze in there anymore. And it's like, you can't tell me what to do, you little bitch.
It's America. Oh, wait, shit.
Oh, shit, it isn't. Fuck.
Fuck, you can just do whatever here?
It will be... Give my boy 47 enough time, and he'll take over Australia. He'll annex the whole world, and it'll all be America.
He's gonna attack it because he found out Hitler was from there. He's like, Hitler's from there. We gotta get rid of him.
That's pretty good, Zach. Let's stay celebrating America with FoxNews.com. Fair and balanced.
Hell yeah!
Carolina Hurricanes drop the nation's next great novelty beer cup. I guess. You can tell we're a really healthy society because we're introducing new movie popcorn buckets and novelty beer sporting vessels at a rate that no other society has ever managed to achieve.
They're like, we have so much plastic and so much room in landfills. What are we going to do with these things?
My blood-brain barrier is still holding strong. Let's get a little bit more plastic in there. Tip this thing all the way over.
Yeah. So now, if you are a Carolina Hurricanes fan and you're at the stadium, you can get a
Fuck beer the Canes!
Cake. Okay.
Sorry, they're a rival of my beloved Washington Capitals. So.
Well, you can get a beer skate, which is like a big stein that looks like a skate. And the bottom where it is skate part is like clear, so you can see the beer. So cool, you guys.
Nice.
I mean, honestly, these are all dumb, but this is better than most. I like that there's a handle, even though that doesn't really make sense for a skate. I like that there's a handle on it.
That's big.
They do mention a couple other ones, like the beer stick, which I think we did talk about at one point. But my favorite is the beer saber, because, again, Samuel, it does have a handle. It's supposed to look like a beer sword, so it's has a hilarious handle at the bottom.
For the Buffalo Sabres.
Is all they had to make was a tube, saber. And they cut it on a diagonal, they cut it on a bias, and then all they're buying, that tube is everywhere, all they're buying is those little plastic handles that go over the bottom for you to hold onto it. Like, yeah. Buffalo, from an economic standpoint, way higher profit margin. These skates are actually, like, made nicely. Like, they actually look, they're branded, it looks like they're not super cheap, they've been clearly painted purposefully. They don't have stickers on it. They're like four. Look at that saber. There's four stickers up the side. It's just a plastic tube. That's genius. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, it's like out of the fucking the Blackhawks worm. It's the beer worm for the Blackhawks. Come on, guys. He's got a little saddle to ride from like Dune.
I think you have to like get a little bit ahead of it and be like, for the Minnesota Wild, we love our mascot, Cup. And like you talk about how great Cup is. You give Cup like a year or two to circulate. Hey, we made our own beer glasses modeled after our beloved mascot, Cup. And it's just a cup.
Let's get these two girls down here to meet Cup. Like every single game. Just any two girls from the crowd. And you gotta eat this pan of corn muffins.
I don't get it. I'll Google it later. I'm sure that won't be a problem for me.
You probably should. I have ridden the mighty beer worm. I like the sabers because, you know, they don't want to give out, like, glass and stuff because they don't want people hitting each other. And now they've given me a weapon, a drink weapon. I love it.
The sabers have never been much for subtlety because their logo, despite the fact that they're the sabers, always has a buffalo in it. It's like, don't forget, we're the Buffalo team. Look at the buffalo. But we're the Sabres, so look at the Sabres.
Not at all.
What if they made a buffalo-shaped drinking glass?
Fuck yeah. You could probably just reuse these skate shapes somehow. If you, like, turn them upside down, they'd be like, maybe.
Give them a good paint job.
Yeah, exactly. Just paint them brown.
Use every part of the buffalo.
Yeah. You have the fucking... That would actually be great. That'd be a really great... Like, you can't do it anymore, but if it were 1982, that would be an amazing ad campaign for the cup. Like, that would actually be incredible.
It's upstate New York. You can still get away with that move.
For sure. Yeah, dude, Ronald McDonald would come out talking about using all parts of the buffalo. Have a deal with, like,
We watched an episode of Fringe. I haven't, or not Fringe, excuse me, Psych. Because it's like a, I haven't watched Psych, but it, there's a Twin Peaks themed episode, and I love Twin Peaks.
I just started watching Psych with Emily like a week ago.
Oh, well, I only saw that one episode, but I did notice the name of the band that provides the music. Are either of you familiar?
No.
The Friendly Indians?
Ooh, that's not great.
Not so good.
I hope they're all native to India. And they're just like nice guys.
The bottom of this song flows my 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo tab. Seems more important.
Yeah, I just don't know about the Friendly Indians. Seems like...
How long do I have to wait for this Twin Peaks episode?
I think it was in season 5.
Oh boy, so like a while.
Yeah.
So it is two white guys, sometimes four white guys, and,
Well, that's the same two guys standing next to a mirror, so it's just the two guys.
Yeah, it's hard to tell a little bit, but yeah, apparently...
All white people look the same, to me.
The band members, are the guy who created Psych and one of the writers of Psych.
That sucks.
That sucks so bad.
They recorded their own theme song.
The theme song is actually pretty solid, I think.
I actually don't know, because in the Twin Peaks one, they get Julie Cruz, who did a lot of the music for original Twin Peaks, to cover the theme song.
Oh, that's neat.
It's pretty cool. It's a good episode. They have, like, a lot of characters from the show, like, from actual Twin Peaks in there. It's quite good. I enjoyed it a lot. The idea of these guys using their own band for their own theme song for their own show really reminds me of the wedding I was at where the groom was DJing.
Hell yeah.
I told you about that, I think.
Yeah, that's rough, man. I just, like, I really feel for the bride there.
It's his night too.
She's like, it's our special day, and you have to make it about your beeps and boops. Okay.
He wasn't like Sam. He wasn't
like a house like, DJ.
Yeah. It wasn't like he was remixing up there.
In my head, he's on the ones and twos.
No. He wasn't like scratching or anything. No, he was just like playing the different song, like kind of fading in and fading out. But then
then make a fucking playlist a week in advance, and
I'm not arguing with
be
you.
At your wedding during your wedding.
I'm not arguing. He was also, I guess, the worst part was that he was also kind of emceeing, because he'd be like, "How's everybody doing out there?"
Did he do the? I can't hear you.
This is the smuggest thing they can do. You can hear me.
I don't know.
You can hear me.
Every time I'm in a situation where I get hit with the, you know, how's everybody doing, followed by an I can't hear you, or you can do better than that, because they're expecting more noise, I always shout, go fuck yourself, because no one can hear me, because everyone's yelling, but I think that that is unforgivable, and I would like to say, go fuck yourself to this person.
What if somebody came at you with a, I said, how y'all motherfuckers doing tonight? Would you like that?
It would depend on so many degrees of context. We don't have enough time to get into it.
Because I feel like that's a pretty funny way of going about it. That's some big balls.
That's all it would take. You're like, here's an idea. Wait, hear me out. They just, you know, kind of, they sit backwards in their chair when they say, how y'all doing tonight?
just at any time it's you can do better than that or I can't hear you, it's I haven't earned your appreciation, but I still would like to hear it.
Give me a quick bump and of that applause.
Or, I mean, I'll also say anytime someone says, let's get a round of applause for X, and I have no appreciation for X, I'm not clapping for X. Yeah. Well, earn it, Sam, X!
The problem with that is X gonna give it to you if you continue operating like that.
Well, don't wait to get it on your own. X gonna deliver it to you. Knock, knock. Open up the door. It's real with a non-stop pop-up of stainless steel.
Etc. That, of course, knows the next lines. Brother. Yeah. So I do know that whole song.
I've been doing this for 19 years. Motherfucker wanna fight me, fight these tears. So just so we're clear on that.
I for one put in work and it's all for the kids.
These cats don't forget what work is.
Yeah. Zach, unfortunately, in college, we discovered that there was a remix of that song over the Ghostbusters theme.
It's so good, man. It's so good.
Why is that not the Monster Mash? Why isn't that what we do instead? That's amazing.
Oh, man, that should be the theme song for this this episode.
Oh, I think that maybe... We're talking about this thing, and I'm like, I have no fucking clue what we're talking about.
I think maybe it won't set the tone quite right with my intro of like, oh, yeah, I'm the devil and whatnot.
Right. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay, how about the outro? We've talked about it.
Yeah, maybe it'll be the outro if I remember.
But, so, Zach, we listened to that pretty much on repeat, so now we know the whole song. What have you got going on in that brain over there? Obviously not Ghostbusters XDMX.
No, definitely not. When you hear the normal version of that song, you're like, this sounds kind of weird. And you're like, oh, it's because it's not Ghostbusters.
I truly, truly prefer the Ghostbusters remix.
You think that's the art?
It really is more than the sum of its parts situation. Anytime I hear either of those songs, like they're both great songs. But anytime you hear either of them, I'm like, I wish I was listening to that mashup. It's better.
Yeah.
The Ghostbusters, it's such a funny instrumental. Like, it's such a comedic, instrumental for the Ghostbusters. It's so...
I mean, it's so 80s. And yeah. DMX is so 90s. And you squish them together, and it's... Oh, it's so good.
It is one of the most 80s sounds, I think, that there was. It's just the Ghostbusters theme.
Pop, 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 pop! Shut up.
I can't believe he could say Busted Makes Me Feel Good on the radio. I can't believe that's in the song. It's so amazing to be at like a function and it comes on and then everybody who looked you at the ground and like, who else is going to really shout Busted Makes Me Feel Good?
Busted Makes Me Feel Good!
I'm live for that moment. That's one of those things I live for is when he says Busted Makes Me Feel Good.
I don't think I've ever been at a wedding that played the Ghostbusters theme song. But I absolutely would be, crotch thrusting as hard as I could, screaming, busting, makes me feel good.
Right before a shout, they put a Ghostbusters theme.
And I would look over at Emily, and she'd be covering her face, please, no one can see that I'm here, right? No one knows that I'm with him, right?
I like that Zach obviously meant, a Halloween party, and Sam was like, yeah, I've never been to a Ghostbusters-themed wedding. That's weird.
Maybe a wedding, anywhere music might be playing, any playlist. Yeah.
I think if you have a wedding in October, you should play Ghostbusters, and ideally, this specific mashup. We've talked a bunch of hype about this song, and there's no way it'll live up to it when you finally listen to it, but I found it in college, and I played it for Jed, and his review was, I'm so upset that there was ever a moment of my life that I was not listening to this song.
That's a pretty ringing endorsement.
Good. Check it out.
But of course, then we found a bunch of other songs that we played on repeat, like... Barack Obama, elect Obama for change, for a positive change.
Yeah, we didn't listen to that one nearly as much. We listened to I Wish I Knew Dudley Portman a lot.
Monkey Baby.
Monkey Baby a lot. Yeah, we should probably list all of the songs that we listen to that Zach doesn't know what we're talking about.
He'd like it.
That's probably like good that. Content.
Oh, yeah, this is great. What time is it? Okay. still great. If you've listened to those songs, let us know on ThursdayTuesday@gmail.com.
But make sure if you write in for this episode, do it in Spanish, because, of course, this is our Cinco de Mayo episode also.
Oh, don't read into that. There's no way we could have timed that. It's no chance. We didn't have that kind of autism to do that.
No, yeah, we... I started the show... I decided to record the first episode 12 years ago or whatever with the thought, oh, yeah, episode 666 is going to release on Cinco de Mayo. Lock it in. My eyes rolled back in my head, and I had to do the calculations.
They're really fast. It was just like a typewriter sound going off in his head. He just imagined spare change, and he was able to figure it all out.
Oh boy. Speaking of spare change and positive change, do you have any changes in your life, Zach?
Changes in my life. I've just been yard working. That feels like an adult man thing to do. It sucks. It makes me want to have kids almost just so I don't have to do it. Like, at one point, 10 years from now, I won't have to do it if I just have a kid tomorrow. I was putting mulch down, was weeding, just fucking endless amount of weeds in the yard.
Do you have a fenced yard?
Oh, yeah, we do. Fenced and backyard.
Would you like me to send my kids over? Because I've derived this great idea, which is, how do I make it easier to clean up my backyard and also parent simultaneously? Mm-hmm. Which is, we call it the poop hunt. And the kids have to stand next to a poop, a dog poop, and say, poop, 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 and then I run over there and I clean up the poop. And it takes like 45 minutes to clean up all the poop, but that whole time, Emily gets a little nap, and I look like a great dad. I mean, and also, there's no poop in my backyard at the end of it.
Yeah, there's no poop in my yard right now, so if you want to, like, fuck with them, like, we could send them out there, but I think at some point they're going to crack, they're going to get frustrated, they're not finding any, and they're going to completely melt down. So if we can
just sit with their head in their hands, like, there's no poop, why is there no poop?
We'll have to throw a shit back there for them to find like those 9/11 rescue dogs that were getting set.
Oh man.
That's them.
Anyway, yeah, way to really help the vibe there, Zach.
It's a spooky episode, Samuel.
You're right. Like, depression is spooky.
It would be funnier if Tyler laughed instead of going, oh. Like, if he just hadn't set the tone, I think we could have had the nice little dark joke moment.
Yeah, no, you're right. Can we get that again? And Tyler, can you just, Zach, you say it, and Tyler, you go, lol, 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 lol.
Yeah.
Can we just get that back? Can we get that back? And you just said it, sound like it was funny, like you liked it, that it was funny.
I love 9/11.
I didn't go, oh, you see, I helped you. I laughed instead of going, oh.
That reminds me, my kids have gotten very into knock-knock jokes lately. And they just want me to teach them new knock-knock jokes, and there's only so many, and I refuse to teach them my second favorite knock-knock joke.
Smell mop?
No, that's my number one favorite. I taught them that. It rules. That shit rules. But my second best one, I think, Tyler, you might have told me.
Oh.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
9/11.
Yeah. 9/11 who?
You said you'd never forget.
Yeah. That's a good one.
But they're a little young for that, I think.
A lot of pressure to remember all that stuff sometimes. It's like, I got a lot going on. I got the Alamo. I got this.
At some point, I'm going to have to explain 9/11 to my kids, and they are not going to get it.
Maybe. I mean, like, it's going to be like when someone explains Pearl Harbor to us, and you just go, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I think you're making my point for me, because someone did tell me about Pearl Harbor, and I was like, whoa, man, that's crazy. But, like, that's not me getting it. That's me understanding the facts. That's not me getting it.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you're going to have to explain 9/11. I think, like, they'll probably encounter that in a textbook or something.
I think probably they'll have sex ed, and their teacher will be like, talk to your kids about sex and also 9/11 while you're at it. Thanks.
You're already going to be uncomfortable with them. You might as well just do them all at once. Right. Talk to them about somebody dying at the same time if you can. It makes the sex way less sexy. You do drugs, someone dying, sex, someone dying.
Explain to them that busting makes you feel good.
It feels good, but you will go to hell. Yeah, so you do have to inform you that it feels
You'll so go
good.
To hell.
Yeah.
This is a high level parenting.
I'm in hell for busting.
Tyler, you know how bad I am at everything.
Yeah.
And you must know through the grapevine how challenging parenting is. Just imagine. Just imagine what my life is like.
It's clear that you've been on a downward trend for many, many years.
Yeah, man.
Using string cheese wrappers as shirts for his kids. He's doing a really bad job.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Shit, I was going to say something. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. Let's move on to another article.
Yeah, fuck it.
In the same way that, 9/11 was real cultural trauma, so was the death of John Lennon, wouldn't you say, guys?
I wasn't really, there really for that.
Made a big impact on me. Yeah. Well,
the death of, in my opinion, the most overrated artist of all time, John Lennon, yeah.
Take that, John. He said, looking downward.
Youch!
I mean, like... demonstrably a bad person, and also I think the Beatles were mid.
Yes.
He's also, I think his glasses were like, to that time period, what black leather trench coats in The Matrix were to like the early 2000s. Just totally. A lot of people trying to do it who can't do it.
Yeah. But The Guardian is reporting that Yoko Ono trademark challenge leaves sour taste for John Lemon, a beer maker. There is a man in Brittany, so I guess in France. His name is Aurelien Picard, which is an incredible name. And he's owner of L'Imprimerie Brewery, and they sell a John Lemon beer. Recently they got a cease and desist from Yoko Ono's lawyers. And I know what you're thinking. Obviously she trademarked John Lennon. That makes sense. But no, she also trademarked John Lemon. And this is not the first time she's gone after people making John Lemon products. Now, I don't really like Yoko Ono, but that is some far-sighted thinking to trademark John Lemon. Yeah.
Just like knowing that people are going to meme it? Like, yeah. Was that her thought process?
Yeah.
Do you think that was her idea or like a lawyer's idea?
Well, it's not to make money according to her / her lawyers. It's to protect his reputation from mockery.
Because a lemon is like a shitty car?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so could they make a beer called Yoko Ono is a Dumb Cock?
Maybe? I don't know.
Because if I were that brewery, that would be my first question.
He does someone else and then put a label, Yoko Ono, so that she couldn't say it was her. Like, her likeness isn't in it. Probably could. Do you want to start this war with a woman who has nothing but time on her hands?
Or just call it George Harrison Lemon and leave the picture the same as it is.
Just let her not raise the same stink.
I think they actually have a pretty good idea. They say they're probably going to consider... they're probably going to rename it, Juan Lemon, which is yellow lemon. But it looks like John Lemon.
Sure.
Pretty clever.
Because false.
Because France. I think it's pretty clever.
That's good. Good for Yoko, you know?
Yeah.
That guy was really up his own ass. Good get him, Yoko.
I feel like my thoughts on Yoko Ono have really vacillated, because when you first learn about her, she's evil.
Yeah.
And then when you learn more about the dynamic, she was in a tough situation. But then when you further examine it, she kind of seems like it. Also she was an asshole.
It's like that bell curve, you know? Like, people at the dumb end and the high end, like, both
right,
think she's
right.
an asshole.
Absolutely.
Yeah. An asshole, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I gotta give her a win's a win. Like, trademarking John Lemon was pretty smart.
Yeah, that means
she definitely activated a trap card on this one.
Yeah, she's out-Googling John Lemon, like, every 3 or 4 months, and then if something gets a hit, she's like, tell him to knock that shit off. I own John Lemon. There should be no John Lemons in here.
I mean, the amount of money she has, she probably has one lawyer on retainer whose job it is to just Google John Lemon and be like, oh, gotta deal with that, too. Damn it.
Coming. Some bitch on Etsy again.
Coming this fall, The Lemon Lawyer.
The Lemon Party.
Oh,
Google that. Google that if you don't know what
we're talking about. Yep. Oh, sorry, let me jot this down. So later I'm going to Google two girls, one cup, and lemon party. Great. All right.
Honestly,
yep.
But you have to do DMX versus Ghostbusters. So I think we're even.
And then I'll memorize it if you also Google DME Pain Olympics.
Oh.
So... The bit aside, I have seen the first two. I haven't seen the last one, and I would like to avoid it. I've seen Goatsy a few times.
It's worse.
Yeah.
No, Tyler has seen it. He's explained it to me. It seems like a real day ruiner. Hopefully so I have fake. Been I actively it avoiding it.
Every day, I go, that must have been fake. Then I just moved back.
Yeah, blame it on AI, even though it came out 20 years before AI.
It was a John Carpenter-like prosthetic. It was just some really talented Scooby-Doo villain trying to make me have a bad time.
I'm getting that neck thing just thinking about it. But honestly, Lemon Party is, like, best. It's the best out of that one. They're all
I'm glad those guys are having a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
Old people in love.
Celebrating each other's strength.
Love is love.
Everyone's... It seems... pretty consensual, so
yeah
you guys
what's up.
It's enjoy great. Yourselves
it in a way there's a beauty to it.
Do you think like real wrinkly old people, if you press them together in just the right way, they'd stick like Ziploc bags?
Yes.
I was thinking like Velcro. And you pull it apart and it makes a big dumb noise.
Yeah,
yeah, no, it'll lock in perfectly. It'll snap together. You'll hear the snap as you push them together.
Exactly.
I mean, there are all these stories about how, like, nursing homes, everybody has syphilis. Because everybody's like, I'm going to die soon. Why would I use a condom? And the answer is because you're going to get syphilis and die of syphilis.
Just 30 other people are dumping in that lady. Is why. They should have to, like... have a point system or something where, like, you know how many people have been in there that week. It's like no judgment, but I need to know, like, what I'm walking into.
Well, give everyone a piece of chalk and just and a chalkboard and just mark it off as you go in.
We have those Japanese stamps that are, like, personalized to us, so I could stamp myself so you'll know all the people.
Talk about a tramp stamp.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. I would like that system. I think it'd be a little bit more orderly and it would cut down on the syphilis. It would help with contact tracing.
So, John was here last? I'll wait till the next go-round.
Everyone knows John be nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty.
I'll get you the cranberry juice already. You don't even have to ask. Oh, man.
Is this global health? Are we doing global health right now? Because I kind of feel like we are.
Definitely doing global health. Speaking of global health, and the mental health aspect, Holly was telling me about a book she was reading, which is, you know, like, the closest thing I do to reading. Just kidding. I read a lot. But they, it was about, it's like a memoir about an art thief in Europe who stole like hundreds and hundreds of pieces of art. And because it like sets him up as like the suave, cool guy at the beginning of the book. But then you realize he's like horrifically mentally ill by the end. Like he's just an insane kleptomaniac because he was like, I just really appreciate art and I'll take better care of it. Like wink. And he like steals a bunch of shit.
And just, like, yeets it into a basement?
Yes, he steals so much shit. It's all in his mom's attic. Like, he can't put it anywhere. He's got so much of it. And it's all, like, rotting and, like, breaking. Like, it's being damaged by him owning it. And then, like, he keeps stealing it. But, like, just the fact that he didn't take care of it after he stole it, I'm like, this dude was this close to being a Batman villain. Like, this close. Because he gets caught. He does a little bit of jail time. He comes out. He steals shit again. And goes back to jail. Like, this dude can't... It's like, dude, stop stealing the paintings. And it's like, he can't. He's a Batman villain. He just goes out and he steals fucking paintings. It's what he does. Like,
okay, you call him a Batman villain twice now. I'm assuming you have his Batman villain name, and if you don't, I'm going to need you to drop off of the call.
I'm going to need to drop off for a second, because I actually thought of the other one, who's the guy who runs the Mustard Museum.
Here
he
in,
would have been a Batman villain.
Here in Dane County.
Yes, yes, the Dane County Mustard Museum.
Probably. And now, Tyler, this is in Middleton, which is kind of like Madison, but a little richer.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, so there's it's a house, and the basement is just full of mustards organized by geography. There's a video playing. The upper floor is a gift shop, but you can see how it started, and it was just this attorney just kept buying mustard until he had so much mustard, he opened a museum. I'm like, and he would be the Batman villain, of course, Mustardo. And he would hit you with the Mustardo beam, and it would hypnotize you.
This is the place you take your parents when they come to visit, unless you're me, so I've never been there. But my parents have.
You know what I'm talking about. It's fucking insane in there.
I, kind of along the line of funny names, I really, for the next campaign we do, want to play a snake with 100 mage hands. And so I'm trying to homebrew up a character. And I thought a good race name for this kind of creature would be an Abraconda.
Mm.
Right? Because it's like a magic snake, right? You guys like that? You guys like that?
Three out of ten. Right.
Okay.
Tough ground. Then what would you call the painting thief?
I wouldn't, because I didn't exclaim that he's obviously a Batman villain twice. You have to name him or drop off the call. I didn't forget.
Okay. He is Vincent Van Doe.
Vincent Van Doe?
The Doe. He gets caught. That's what he does. He goes, Doe. It's like
that's also a 3 out of 10, if you were curious.
Shit. He's obviously not a threatening one, but he's like the, I don't know enough about painting to even start thinking about puns.
Yeah.
Brush stroke?
Because there's death stroke. Is that the idea?
Yeah, he's brush stroke.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I like that. It just reminds me of my neighbor, who is a kleptomaniac.
What kind of stuff did your neighbor steal?
Gardening supplies. My dad, they were having a yard sale one time. My dad went over and he was like, they've got like 16 weed whackers. There's something fucky going on over there.
That's crazy. It is wild how mentally ill you can be and like still kind of hold it together. Like have a house, like be living somewhere, be on the bus with me when I'm on the bus.
He was, they owned a house, were married, like, totally, like, normal people. But he would just, like, go to Home Depot or whatever and bring a bunch of stuff up and be like, hey, can I leave this at the front, like, until my wife gets here and we can pick it up? And then he would wait for the shift change and come up and be like, oh, I bought this earlier and was just leaving it up here and walk out with it.
Wow.
Genius.
Yeah.
If they spend all day at Home Depot stealing a weed whacker, but hey, you know.
Yeah.
You would think that after that happened once, they would tell the... There's a term for it. The anti-stealing guys? Loss prevention. Yeah.
They would tell the loss prevention
guys, watch out for this guy. He does this one weird trick that everybody hates.
I assume he went to like a bunch of different places.
You throw smoke bombs down.
Yeah, then, right.
The gas would knock you out. It would knock you out. And you'd...
We've been hit by the gardener.
The gardener.
Okay, and now is that go ahead and actually give him a good name because the gardener is not it. Go ahead and do that for me. Batman villain who steals gardening supplies.
The Edger.
Well, fuck.
Yeah, I bet you don't think gardener is so bad now, huh?
So I had just. I was like 2/3 of the way through writing my letter of endorsement to DC Comics for you, Zach, but I think I might have to delete the whole draft because you haven't been doing it for me, man.
Oh, come on. Mustardo's a winner.
Mustardo.
he shoots you with the Mustardo beam and you get Mustarded. It takes
you over. Let's get Mustarded in here.
Mustarded in, huh?
Fucking radio. Dude, people have no idea like what the world is like. That's like our version of 80s bullying. When you see an 80s movie and they're like beating a kid to death and there's like no adults around.
Or like, or saying God. Like ching ching chong to an Asian person. Yeah,
they're all hitting a gong when this kid walks into a room. They're like, these bullies stole a gong from the band room to follow the Chinese kid around. Like, high effort racism. In our era, the 2000s, it was just getting, was not getting it started. It was getting started. And that was on the radio, and Will.i.am shouted it off a stage to, like, thousands of people.
Oh, what a time to be alive.
Well, should we get started with the next article?
Hell yeah.
I guess. I don't even know how we've been hopping from place to place, but our last article is from Brewbound.com. Pabst Blue Ribbon and Grillo's Pickles debut new pickle beer.
Okay, so before we get in this for real, have you guys had Grillo's?
No.
I don't think so.
But before we get in it for real, it was hard for me not to say, Grillo's.
Mm-hmm.
Because you lived in California for 2 years?
Oh, well, I was there for 5 years, and not anywhere near any Mexicans. I was way up north.
Because you were afraid.
Yeah, actually, that's
scared about the border. The open border really scares me.
Anyway, go on.
In the Sacramento area, he was really afraid of all those border Mexicans.
Dude, I hate when people say Sacramento is Northern California. I was, like, 3.5 hours from Sacramento. Like,
San Francisco?
What? No, Sacramento. No? Was it further south? Becca's telling me I'm wrong. Let's just move on.
Yeah, well, my favorite part was that you were wrong, and we all agree with Becca. Whatever she was saying, I couldn't tell. But whatever she was saying was definitely right.
Sure. But anyway, have you ever been to Sacramento?
No.
Nope.
Okay. I hear it's pretty cool.
I thought we were going to talk about Grillo's.
Grillo's Picos?
So... Grillo's Pickles, they make a product called Thick Cut Pickles.
Okay.
And I think the idea is it's
uncut
like
cut pickles.
It's like pickle chips, but they're cut thicker than your normal pickle chips. But the thing is, we got these motherfuckers, and it's just somebody took a pickle and cut it in half and was like, that's a thick cut pickle. It's like, I'm trying to feed these to my kids. It's 3.5 inches long. I can't give this fucking chunky pickle to my... Like, I can eat them.
Taking a Bic pen and, like, knocking the middle out just so they can't choke on
it. It's crazy. It's crazy how chunky these guys are. And, like, it's a fine pickle for an adult, but I wouldn't give it to a kid because it is... they will choke on it sized.
Did you guys hear my really funny joke when I said they make uncut pickles? Do you guys like that?
We'll find out in the edit now, won't we?
I guess so.
Do you want to do it fresh to make sure it makes it?
It's okay.
Sorry, Tyler, what was that?
They also make uncut pickles, you guys.
That was the joke! Oh my god! You threw on the emergency brake for that?!
So mean.
Fuck me running, doggy! What are you doing?
I didn't think you were gonna stop so hard. I don't like pickle beers. This is not the first pickle beer out there. There have been several pickle beers on the show. I wouldn't be drinking this, but I assume Sam would be into this concept.
I mean, I like pickles more than you do.
Yeah.
I like
a beer out of bed.
Okay. I don't know if this is going to be a thick cut or uncut pickle beer.
And now, what would an uncut pickle even look like? I can't imagine. I wish someone would make a really, a great 3 out of 10 joke about what an uncut pickle would look like.
It's just like the, you know how like a pickle is a zucchini, right? And it has like the, what do you even call that? The stem?
It's not a zucchini. What are you talking about?
A cucumber.
Are you having an episode? Do you need to go lie down?
Do you guys hear that dog barking?
Do you guys smell that toast? It's burning.
Morning toast.
My arm hurts and only one side of my face is moving. Something's happening.
Oh man. What were you saying about your pickle theory? You were pickle crafting here. You're on to something.
Pickle crafting? Oh, so the pickle, it's like the stem keeps going, but it just gets like smaller and kind of shrivelier at the end is what happens with the uncut pickles.
Oh, they just leave a dangle. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Okay. I went to a thing for work. We were tabling at a work for a work thing. And they had, it was a health fair. I don't care, Sam, I'm going to keep talking. It was a health fair and they had a bus to give blood at the health fair.
Okay.
One of my employees was like, "Oh, I'm going to go give blood at the blood bus." I was like, "You gotta go give blood at the blood bus while we're working? Are you fucking crazy? That's wild." I just thought it was a very strange impulse.
Came out of there with two holes in his neck and just stumbling, like couldn't know like where he was at.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to back to work at the park.
Like, they're going to get an eighth of their blood removed and then just try to come back to work and collapse and I'm going to have to take care of them? No, thank you.
Yeah, it's like, eat that fucking cookie on the way out. I'm not picking your ass up when you faint. Seriously,
man, I had the exact opposite situation at our work. Giving blood, I gave blood. They do like every 8 weeks they do a blood drive, and I gave blood like 4 or 5 times, and you're supposed to.
No! Don't call me a hero.
You're supposed to tell
the. Pausing for the claps.
I know. Yeah.
You're supposed to reserve your time. Like I'll be here between 9:30 and 9:45 or whatever, and so I did that. And I got there at 9:30, and they were like, "It's gonna be like an hour wait." We had a bunch of walk-ins, and I was like, "No, fuck you," and I left.
Yeah.
And I haven't been back since to give blood. If you want me to give blood, skate better, I guess is my feedback.
That's the whole
point
of making of reserving your time.
Yeah, they lost my delicious AB positive blood, the least valuable blood.
You also AB positive?
Now, Zach, it's...
Have we done this before?
It's so frustrating for me, because we've talked about this at length a number of times.
What are the odds? That's crazy.
So, I made a segment for this show called AB positive, where the premise was that both of us had AB positive blood.
Whenever we play a game, I don't, like, need the justification for the game, so I don't always listen. I thought it was fun. That was where we put a positive spin on headlines. That was great.
Well, no, we also... I mean, that was the bit. That was the bit.
That was great. Like, I liked that game, because it was, like, propaganda. It was, like, lying.
But do I keep it in the back of my head, like, I can get Zach's blood? If we both get in a horrific accident, I can say, I can have his.
We can get anyone's blood. We can get anyone's blood. That's
right, but you can give almost nobody blood, but you can give me blood.
Correct. We could give each other blood.
And I want it.
It's crazy to me that you're even donating blood. Our blood is garbage. I've never donated blood because no one can have our blood except us.
Well, they spin it out so they just do the platelets. Because they can give anyone the platelets.
And the plasma.
And the I guess the red blood cells they just like throw in a ditch or whatever.
Probably sell them to Japanese people as like for like a dating thing.
You know what?
Blood types.
They were giving me Pringles all the same, and that's what mattered to me 12 years ago.
Whatever you want.
That wasn't red dye 40.
You're like in the Saw basement. You're like, where the fuck are my Pringles? Like a light flickering.
This is bullshit.
Wait, hold on. So you gave blood, and then your recovering food was Pringles?
I think I got some Pringles and some Famous Amos. And let me tell you, Famous Amos sucks shit. I don't know how you got Famous Amos. Was it for making shitty cookies that are dry as all fuck?
It just seems weird that they would give you... Okay, so hold on. So the Pringles weren't dry as all fuck. It's like they're making a desert in your mouth, Samuel.
There was orange juice or apple juice or something also.
You gave me some talcum powder. Just kind of
Again, it's been more than a decade since I've donated blood because they irked me so hard that one time. Hey, and I'm a salty bitch.
No, you're eating all those Pringles.
I don't want to fuck up the level.
Thanks for burping right in the microphone. We're doing a great job on our hell episode.
I didn't even mention that one. You could have gotten rid of it, no problem, but you brought it up this time.
Well, maybe I'll cut it. Probably not. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Work. If he's going to cut it, I'll have to sandwich this between two Hulk Hogan sex tape bits so we can maintain...
so much ham!
Dude, speaking of hell...
Speaking of hell, fucking Hulk Hogan? Yeah, man.
Nah, he gets to hang out in purgatory with, like, Aristotle and all the pagan philosophers. He's a brilliant pagan philosopher. He never knew the love of God, so he's just sent down to the first level there.
With all the unbaptized children who died in childbirth. Oh, just hanging out with Hulk Hogan.
Just flexing for a bunch of infants.
I'm sorry you didn't get to live for real, brother!
Hulkamania's gonna run wild on Limbo.
I would love that. I actually feel like he'd have a blast. Actually, it's like a dog running around in like a field for like forever.
Every now and then I'm like, this show should actually be popular because it's good. Every now and then.
Remind you that we'd just immediately get canceled.
Oh boy. Fuck yeah. That's fun. That's real good times. Should we end on a high note talking about Hulk Hogan's sex tape?
Yeah, probably, but you might need to do a little bit of demon voice to get us back in the mood.
It's time for us to rate these beers.
Libtard?
Is that good? Oh.
That's good. That's real good.
Okay. I feel like you could have just done that and not had me do the stupid voice I did.
Libtard?
Super.
Hulk Hogan's stupid the second year. I can feel it.
Both. I still feel unsatisfied. Both ways I feel unsatisfied. But speaking of Mary, I was listening to the latest episode of Mary's season, and where we are talking about Hulk Hogan's sex tape once again. And somebody
it's every couple of months we talk about it.
But
it's
but
one of the fun. I'm sorry. It's like the Hindenburg of funny sex tapes. Like, I'm sorry, I bring it up sometimes. The historic moment.
Well, the most interesting part was somebody asked whether there was ever any good celebrity sex tapes, and I really don't. I don't think so.
Reach from Saved by the Bell.
If I could only have one celebrity sex tape, it would have to be Kim Kardashian, right?
She displays her stomach the whole time. Yeah,
they're both
she didn't do anything. I can't believe she got famous from that.
I guess at least it's not in night vision like that Paris Hilton one.
Paris Hilton.
Oh, horrible. And he says, "Show me, let me see your beaver," like a fucking weirdo, and you can't unhear that sound. That's like a loop track in my head that I can hear in like perfect pitch the rest of my life.
Should I get that on the soundboard?
Let me see your beavers. Like that. He says it like that. I was like, ugh.
That's how you'll know you're in hell. It's when you hear, let me see your beaver.
Can you just imagine being like, I bet that this will be a loving and respectful sex. And he says, let me see your beaver like a cartoon.
I just can't imagine trying to engage sexually with somebody and saying, let me see her beaver.
No, like she's out of your league. She's a model. She's a billionaire heiress model. It's like, don't say that to her.
There's just a thousand better ways of saying that phrase.
Exactly. Because it's not like cute. It's not like dominant. It's just like weird.
It's just weird. It's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
I think if anything, we should say it to Tyler all the time just to punish him for being who he is.
It'd be like, oh yeah, baby, let me see that tinkle dink. Like, what?
Tinkle dink. Holy shit. Becca's like, stop, not right now, stop.
Yeah,
we say erotic language.
Can
here.
Each of you do me a quick favor and say, let me see your beaver to your respective significant others and text me how it goes?
I don't think I can do that.
We're both totally unwilling. Should I text them both and say, let me see that tinkle dink? See if I can get either of them to do that to you.
You should. Text my wife, let me see that tingle dick, and I will let you know what she says. I'll let you know.
I can tell you with confidence, she'll say, I'm not going to do that. But I will try.
Well, there's no such thing.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Let's do the beers. Scary,
even for episode 666, so let's...
Let us see your tingle dick.
Let me see your beaver.
Yeah, do you think that thing that pops up on Jar Jar?
Were you being the Salacious Crumb? Is that what that was?
Salacious Crumb. Yes, exactly. Salacious Crumb. He says, let me see your beaver. He goes... Oh my god, dude. Fucking Salacious Crumb. What an incredible pull.
A real... Yeah. Really weird that he's like a sentient being with his own dealio, but he just hangs out being like a pet for Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, the lore's definitely wrong. It's clearly a pet. It's like a monkey or something. It's not like a guy. Like, it's not his job.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, he's conscious. He's like, this is how I'm going to spend my day. Like, eating the crumbs off of his neck fold and laughing at people's misfortune. Like a total dick. Anyway, we gotta read these beers. I can talk about Salacious Crumb all day.
Rate that beer for me, Zach.
All right. From Drecker Brewing Company in Fargo, North Dakota, I had Ectogasm, an IPA, 7% ABV. Sometimes it's just nice to go back to the basics. Sometimes, you know, you've had flavored stouts, you've had weird sours and other bizarre things. Just coming home to an IPA, like a warm hug. I like that it wasn't juicy or hazy. Well, yeah, it was hazy visually. But it was bitter, which I respect, being a normal IPA right now. You have like it's like the Kevin James. If you're that Kevin James meme, you're like, you know? If you're doing that, this beer's for you. If that's kind of what your posture looks like a lot of the time, this is for you. This is a 6.3. This is a totally fine time. This was fine.
That's pretty funny. I had Jack's Abbey Toy Soldier Christmas Lager, 7.8% ABV, and my opinion really hasn't changed. It is very much a Christmas lager. You couldn't really, 7.8 isn't like crazy high, but it's up there, and it didn't really taste very alcoholic or fumey or anything, so I guess that's a plus for it. But I'm not a big, like, clove, ginger, allspice kind of guy, so it's just never really going to do it for me. So I think I'll give it a 4.9 and recommend it to, I don't know, people who just like the worst out of the cookie assortments. Like, if your favorite cookie is just like a real shit nasty tasting one, you probably are going to like this beer.
Do you think if you were drinking this in early December, you would have a different rating for it?
Maybe. I mean, it might get, you know, it might go up to like 5.1 or something, but I'm
so just a minuscule boost potentially, but yeah, not anything.
I'm just okay. Yeah, it's just not my flavor profile.
It's just so deeply out of season.
It sure is. Sure is.
Who, me? Sure, I'll start talking. I had New Holland Dragon's Milk Triple Mash, 17% ABV. I'm feeling that. As you guys know, I'm really trim now from all of the exercise I've been doing, so a 17%. It's not like I'm 185 pounds like I was. I'm small. I'm delicate. So, this is really, it's really taking its toll on me, so I'll have to give it a pretty good rating for how drunk I am, I guess, right? That makes sense.
Yeah, that's what we've been doing the whole time, yeah.
Cool. Radical. I'll give this a 7.5, and I'll say, if you, like me, are in great shape, you should drink it, and it will kill you.
This will kill you.
On episode 666.
Episode 666, which is never the spooky way to say the number.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. That's great feedback. It's either 666 or 666.
Yeah.
666 just sounds dumb.
Welcome yeah.
to Route 666. Like, wait, what?
Oh, sorry, no, what was that? I'm checking into
Diamond Phillips in it.
Hotel room 666. That can't be good.
I'm on the 66th floor of this hotel. That's quite strange.
Yeah. What a day. What a beautiful coming together of spooky, nefarious energies. This lovely Cinco de Mayo. Just really shout out to the Spanish or the Mexican army beating the French yeah. at the Battle of Puebla. Take that.
Get out of here, Napoleon III. What do you think
yeah,
you're doing?
Yeah, you can't take over Mexico, even though you will eventually for a little bit.
Eat shit for now, dweeb.
Yeah. Napoleon III. Also, what the fuck did Napoleon II do? Nothing. Fucking nothing. Have a kid who tried to take over Mexico? What were you doing?
He was probably just making out with foxy ladies, which is exactly what I would have done in his shoes.
Same. I wouldn't have warmongered. I would have just been a Lothario.
You would have whoremongered, am I right?
That's Bucket!
Right. That's a job creator.
It's a people creator, I'll tell you that.
All those little bastards will have to work the factory, so I'm not taking care of them. The prostitutes, kid, that doesn't count. That's like Vegas rules.
Tiny hands make my polish my glasses so nicely.
I work in the textiles. What a horrible time to be alive. Every time I learn something about the past, I'm like, wow, it was horrible. I'm reading a real book right now, and it takes place during the bubonic plague. What a bummer time. Oh, my God.
Get yeah, man, for realsies.
We get it. You're all dying. Oh, stop being so sad. I'm trying to read this book. Jeez. I'm stressed out, too. Okay? Gas is a little expensive right now. I don't want to listen to you starving, wandering the countryside, having to go into houses with corpses that are in there and eating their hay out of their barn. Okay? Oh, yeah, okay. Shit gets real dark in this book.
Yeah, probably the worst part about the bubonic plague was eating hay out of a barn. That's probably true.
Yeah, that's one of the worst parts, I bet. The worst part.
Well, Sam liked that one, so let's close it out.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody, for being here for this extremely spooky episode.
Boogins!
Yes. Yeah, if you want to let us know the scariest beer you've ever had, you can email us at brewstaytuesdaypodcast@gmail.com. You can comment on our links at brewstaytuesday.com, or you can blue sky us at brewstaytuesday. Don't let us keep it on. We'll see you next episode. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Comes up here, catch all your tears. Drink the remedy, forget about your problems. Here comes a shot, lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy, forget about your problem. This one's on me, fix you for free. Drink the remedy, forget about everything. This one's on me, got what you need. And take your medicine, you feel better. Baja Blast sucks.
Oh shit.
What's wrong with you?